Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom and now I'm Masachet Tamid Daf Chaf Chet Amud Bet. I'm going to study the second parak now, which is half Mishnah, half Gemara, continuing with the description of the Korban Tamid. We're right now at the point where the fellow doing the Trumat Tadeshin has gone down from the Mizbeach. Ra'uachav Sherad, when the other Kohanim saw that he went down, they would then run. Then they would run between the Kior, between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, and do Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim. And Natlutam Agrifot V'Tatzina wrote, they would take shovels and like pitchforks, V'Alu L'Rosh Mizbeach, and they would run up to do the rest of the issue of the Deshen, taking care of the Deshen. Ha'ivarim V'Aptorim Shalom Taklum Ba'erb. So if there were limbs and fats from the Korbanot of the day before that weren't fully devoured, so kinotan al tzidim mizbeach, they would put them on the side of the mizbeach, out of the ash pile, as it were. And if there's not enough room there, so jinotan besovev al kevesh, then they would put them on the sovev and on the kevesh all the way around and keep them there. We'll get back to them in a little bit. Then they would take all of the ash that's on the mizbeach and put it on the tapuach in the middle, which was a big stone. And so it would create like a ball of ash. Sometimes it would have as much as 300 kor before they'd empty it out. We'll see about that sure. They would not clean it off on the regel, because it's part of the aesthetic beauty of the Mizbeach. There never was a case where the Kohanim were negligent or lazy to take the Deshen out from there and take it out off the Mizbeach. And now they would bring wood, logs on to make the new fire. Is it true that all wood is valid for the Maracha? The answer is, hey, call it some Kshirin the Maracha. Chutz v'shel gefen v'shel zayit, except for olive, except for vines and for olive wood. We'll see why. Aval ba'elu ayu regilin, but the ones they used to use are murmiyut shel teina. They would use boughs of fig wood, shel egos, nut tree, and eitz shemen, which is some sort of a tree that burns well. Sidat Maracha g'dola mizracha. The big fire was put on the east side of the Mizbeach, V'chazita mizracha, facing east, meaning Rashi Gzerin Apnimia Yunokin v'tapuach. So the logs would touch the mizbeach and then go out from the tapuach eastward. There's a reason for east here, and we'll see. But keep in mind, some mentioned the Mishnah, keep in mind that the east wall of the Azara is lower than all of the other walls in order for the Kohen who's performing the Parah Duma, the Hazaot of the Parah Duma, should be able to see the Kodesh. Issue of the lower wall figures here also. They would leave space between the logs as a spot to fire up the brushwood. They would take some good fig wood, and then he would make a second smaller fire for the Ktoret, which is Kenegan Aravit Romit. We studied about this in Zvachim. This is on the southwest corner, four amot north of the edge. It's four amot north of the south edge. The Omed, this Omed read it like an Aleph, like estimation, Chamesh Se'in Gechalim, of five se'ah of coals, meaning enough wood to make five se'ah of coals. Uva Shabbat, ba'omet shmonesin, we need more on Shabbat. Why? When they bring the lech of panim out of the ulam, they would bring the two bazichim of levona and put them on that fire, so we need the extra fire on Shabbat. Now let's come back to those limbs and fats that were not devoured and put on the side. We put them back on the ma'aracha, and then they would light both ma'arachot, and then they came down to lishkat hakazit, which we will deal with in the next parak. Okay, the beginning's issue here in the Gemara is the 300 kor mentioned of ash. Amarava guzma. It's a hyperbole. It's an exaggeration. It never got to be that much. It's way too much. And Hishkuat HaTamim B'Koshel Zahav, in a later Mishnah, we're going to see that with the description that they would give water to the Korban Tamid before shechting it, and the reason was to make it easier to flay, and they would use a golden cup. Amar Rava Guzma, Rava said that also wasn't really a golden cup, it's a Guzma. We find the Torah, Nevi'im, and Chachamim all using hyperbole. We can't take it literally. Where's that? Where the Moshe retells the story of the Meraglim giving their report from the visit to the land. They say big cities that had fortressed all the way to heaven. Heaven all the way up to heaven. That's just a hyperbolic way of speaking. Now remember, that really wouldn't tell us much. All it would tell us is that the Torah accurately reported what the spies said. But the fact that Moshe is giving the speech means that he's sort of confirming that use. Which is Hadamran Tapuach, Zahav. So we have two examples of Lashon Havai, as it were, exaggerated talk in the Chachamim, and that is our Mishnah of the Tapuach and the Mishnah later on about the Koshel Zahav. Where do we find this? This is at the coronation of Shlomo. It's the Kolam, that the whole earth broke open to the voice of the cheering when Shlomo was crowned. Shmuel has a slightly different take than Ravi. He says, there's three places Chachamim used exaggerated language. Tapuach, Geffen, Uparochet. We'll see what those are. But why does he mention it that way? Lafukimini Rava. To oppose the position of Rava. Shmuel says specifically Tapuach, Geffen, Parochet, but not the Koshel Zahav. Because Rava said that it was. And he said, because the Koshel Zahav is real, because we don't show poverty in a place of Ashirut. The Mikdash is a place of wealth and splendor, and so forth. Therefore, even for the Korban, we use a golden cup to give it water. Now, what are those three of Shmuel? Tapuach Hadamran. Geffen, Detanya, what's that? Geffen Zahav Eitah Omer Al Petach Eichal. There was a golden grape cluster that was made and was sitting at the door of the Heichal. It was hanging like a grape arbor from beams. If somebody would donate a grape or a cluster of grapes or a leaf, maybe even told Rabbi, he would come and hang it on there. It's a nice, beautiful symbol. And so he adds that one time they had to move it, they needed 300 kohanim to move it, it was so big and heavy. And that's a guzmat. Parochet is the Mishnah in Shkolim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon Haskan. Parochet Ovyat Tefach. The parochet was one tefach thick. It's pretty thick. Shimon Shlaim Nimin Nereget. It took 72 string sort of attachments to weave it. V'alkol Nimah V'nimah Asim V'arachutin. Each one was made up of 24 threads. Or Ka'ar Ba'imama. It was 40 by Rachba Asimama because it was the door of the Ulam. It should be reboot, meaning 82 girls it took Nase to make it. They make two every year. And here's the Guzman, Shloshmer Kohanim Apilinota. That there were 300 Kohanim that it took to go and put it in the mikveh. You could argue that the Guzman may be about some of the other numbers there too, but 300 seems to be a Guzman number here. Okay, next piece. We said that all wood is valid except for olive wood or vines. Actually, the order in the Mishnah is the opposite. But those two. Honey, my time. Why are those two out? Papa, my Mishum de Katri, because they have knots in them. We want to not to deforest Eretz Yisrael, specifically from the vineyards and the olive groves. Alright, so Meitavei, watch this challenge. The Torah talks about the Korban Olah going on the wood that goes on the fire, and what's the drasha? Only wood that can become melted and become fire. My Nihu, what's that? Dukrei Shvot de Lokatri. Sharp skewers, as it were, that aren't knotted. Va'azli Mikta Ritocho. That don't have knots on the inside. Really, are all Eitzim valid for the Maracha? The answer is, call Eitzim Kshir B'chutz Mizayit V'Geffen. Like our Mishnah said, and the Rebbe Eliezer Mosif, these are out now. Af Shal Mayish, which is some sort of a mattress tree, Shal Alon Oak, Shal Dekel, a date tree, Shal Charuv Karav, and Shal Shikma, a sycamore tree. Now, that's the Breita. Now, Bistam on the Mar Mishum Dekatri, according to Papa, who says the problem with the Geffen and Zayit is that they're naughty, Pachim Palgid, and the Machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim is, Rabbi Elazar says, even though they're not knotted on the inside, since they have knots on the outside, lomaitina, we don't bring them. Omar Sava came in a lokatri mikvai, forgot to me bray katri maitiran. And Chachamim say that since they're not knotted on the inside, even though they're knotted on the outside, we bring them. But if the issue is, like Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so then why would anyone think you could bring a palm tree after a date tree? After all, dates are part of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So Malach has answered me, Tamech Teina Leipa Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. What, fig trees are not included in the issue of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Figs are one of the seven species. And figs are on everybody's list as the tree that we bring. It must be a fig tree that doesn't give fruit. Either it's too old or it's a certain kind. So the dekel is also one that doesn't give fruit. So since when do you have fig trees that don't give fruit? The answer is in mighty ta'ini chivarta. If you want to get really good wood, bring wood of a fig, a white fig tree. And sharpen it with this kind of rope. You saw it with this particular kind of saw. And you bury it, or you plant it right where the water comes up to the land. And therefore, kol ra'avida pera lo avida, for some reason it won't produce fruit, and as a result of that, all of its power will go to its wood, and its wood will be so good, with three branches of it, even a bridge wouldn't hold them. In other words, it would be too heavy. That may be another guzma. Okay, sidera to maracha gdolaz, and my time, why is it that the maracha was facing east? So the wind should come, as I mentioned, the eastern wall of the Azara was lower, so the eastern wind would be able to come in and give the fire some fuel. It was done from the east so that they could come and light the brushwood from that side. We saw that the Mishnah says that they left spaces in between the woods so that they could light the brushwood from there. So the answer is they would light the brushwood from different sides, including the east side, if that's your position. Or it could be because they wanted to face the lower wall and the availability of the wind. Okay, we're going to, in the next podcast, it's going to be very short. We're going to do just the third parak, which is only Mishnah. And then we will have the fourth parak, which is Mishnah and some very interesting agadot. But in the meantime, we will leave it at this spot. And Hananalach Rauhu Echav. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.